Hey, Adam, and hey, all you TNS students. I want you to meet one of my fave peeps in the health and wellness world, Mr. Adam Bornstein. And Adam is going to talk today about website mistakes that are killing your business. And the reason you do not want to miss this and you want to tune in very carefully. So if you have anything else going on, if you've got another computer going, if you've got your TV on or your phone on, turn it off and focus because you do not want to miss what Adam is going to tell you today. Because Adam is, in case you don't know him, which you may know him, Born Fitness is his social handle. So you may see him on Instagram, Twitter, and all over the web. But he is a master fitness guru. He was an editor at Men's Health, at Live Strong. He's written numerous best-selling books. So he is a fitness guru. But on top of that, he is a digital marketing expert and guru. And that's really what he's going to talk about here today and what I cannot wait for you to learn about. So without further ado, I want to get right into our topic here, Adam. So website mistakes that are killing your business. So here's really why I wanted you to talk about this with my students, because I think, I mean, and I've been in the same position, and I'm sure most people out there have been. There might be something. First of all, we all have a website, right? Everyone has a website.
Hopefully. Step number one, please get a website.
Yes, get a website. We all should have a website. Okay, yes. So assuming everyone has a website, most people have something they might not like. Like they might not love an image that's there and they don't have the ability to change that image. And, you know, they haven't loved part of the design or they don't love the navigation or they wish they had certain functionality. I mean, people usually have some sort of little gripe or people always want to be updating and changing things. However, I don't think people really think about the fact, though, that their website could actually be really killing their business and they're not maximizing it. So that's really, really, really where I want to start today. Tell us, share the goods. What are your top few things that you think kill a website and a business? And what can we do about it?
Right. So much of this is almost like a strategy in that a lot of us don't realize the power of the website these days. We know how important the internet is and the web, and it's where we find all of our information, but it is your digital business card. It is your calling card. It is a way to generate leads. It's a chance to build a relationship with potential clients. It's a way that you can completely run your business. I mean, the internet of things, as they say, has changed everything. And yes, it is a wonderful thing in that it allows people now to not be confined necessarily geographically. Mm-hmm. There are essentially no more limits that we place on our ability to grow a business, reach clients, impact people, influence them, and it gives us more opportunities to grow in ways that we don't think. You know, oftentimes people will look at wanting to get published, for instance, and I know it's something that you talk about, you know, within, you know, the nutrition school, which I love, and I believe you will be having a guest speaker as well that I won't give away quite yet, just in case they haven't heard, who will be talking about tips of getting published. And having been on the side of that thing of being an editor and an editorial director, I know that oftentimes I find much of the talent through what people create on their own website. So this is this huge tool, but what we don't realize is that the way that we set this up and the strategy behind the website, there are lots of ways that we can go wrong. And I'll try to address about 3 to 4 big mistakes that people make. And obviously feel free that, Carrie, we've worked together plenty. If anything isn't clear, let me know. I want to make sure that we cover everything the right way. But if you follow these initial 4 steps, you're going to avoid about 90% of the mistakes that most people make on websites. And, you know, if you're making these mistakes, the most important thing I can tell you is you're not alone. My company, Born Fitness Consulting, does consulting for huge brands. We're talking about Microsoft and Beachbody and Equinox and you name it. We've worked with them and we'll go in with these multi-million or even billion-dollar companies. And oftentimes they're making the same exact mistakes that you might be finding right now. So there should be no guilt, there should be no problem, because a lot of these are a very quick fix, and it's more about what you can do on the front end of creating a strategy than it is the actual back end execution. So I think the first step is just determining What are you about?
Meanwhile, right now I'm like this. I'm like, I want here. Let's get to
Step number one is what are you about? Especially in this space, in the nutrition space, in the fitness space, in the health and wellness space. Everyone wants what you have to offer. There is unlimited demand in our space. That's the best thing. Like, there is never going to be a time or a point in time when someone doesn't want to get healthier. But at the same time, it means that you have a lot of competition, a lot of people offering something to people, and you have to understand before you create anything, what are you about? What makes you different? And most importantly, what will you do for others? Because remember, your website is not about you.
Yep.
Your website is about your audience. And the first thing that someone's going to do when they arrive on your site is going to they're going to ask themselves this question, is it for me? And if you don't make it blatantly, painfully clear what you do, what makes you different, and how you are going to help people, you're going to lose your visitors immediately. So this is a strategy step that you should essentially have a document that you create that is the pillars of your business, of what you want to be about and how you're going to help people. And if every single page on your website does not personify that, you're missing an opportunity. Because a lot of people will think about, and here's how this manifests itself and becomes wrong, they focus on the homepage itself. Like, my homepage explains exactly what I'm about, or my about page explains exactly what I'm about. But if you go to any other page on your website, you don't get that same vibe. You don't get that same feel. And here's why that's a problem. The new homepage is the article page. And what I mean by that is that web traffic has changed so significantly that, think about how you find yourself on articles or reading about different people on a website. It's usually through either search. You go into Google and you type something in, or social. You're on Facebook. You're on Twitter. You see a link. You click on it. And where do most of those links take you to? They take you to a specific article page. So if you look at websites, if you were to aggregate all traffic to a website, about 90% of most people's traffic comes from an aggregation of all the article pages, where 10% or less will go to the homepage. So when you think about it, a homepage is very important, but you're going to be spending a lot of time on a page that's going to comprehensively get the least amount of traffic. So it's important that every single page on your site, in some way, shape, or form, and we'll talk about this more as we go on, whether it's an email opt-in, a call to action, which is very important, whether it's the graphic, whether it's the design, whether it's the type of content that you create, all of it has to embody what you're about. So if someone lands on that article page, they don't walk away thinking this site isn't for me. Every single article page is an opportunity to build a relationship with the reader, but every article page is also an opportunity for people to lose that relationship with the reader. So know what your website should be about and make sure that that thread is constant throughout the entire site.
You know what? I'm thinking about two things here, which I think are really key, that I love that you said. First of all, it's like writing all these things down, you know, what you're about and what you want your look and feel to be, and really writing it down as an internal document. I think that's a great place for people to start. You can't just sort of be throwing out, well, I'm about this and I'm about that. People really need to write it down and plan it out and have it as a guide to always go back to. So if you're creating another website page or there's something else you're doing in your business, it'll still be in line with everything sort of you've decided and you've put down, to keep you consistent. I think being accountable to what you want to be doing and being consistent with that is huge. But also the other thing that you just said that I think is really so important, even if someone comes to your, like you said, the article page, and maybe that exact article they're not that interested in, they can still see that you're for them if you're doing all the other things that you said. They might not be interested in, I don't know, pre-workout snacks or something, because maybe that's just not what they're interested in for whatever reason, but they can still feel that you're for them by everything down to the font and the colors and the look and the other little images you have on the page. And there's still enough there that should be able to pull them in if you are for them.
No, it's 100% correct. You know, one of the metrics that we'll often look at, which is a little beyond the scope of this, but you know, we'll oftentimes look at pages per visit or something called bounce rate. And that is the likelihood that once someone gets on your site, how quickly do they leave? Mm-hmm. Are they there for, you know, time on site as well? Are they there for 15 seconds or are they there for 5 minutes? And that's really important because it shows you how much people are engaging with the content. And as Carrie said, that article itself might not be for them, but you want to set up a website that makes them desire the ability to snoop around, look around a little bit more. And the first point you made is absolutely true. a lot of people in this industry will focus so much, as they're doing right now by being a part of this class, on how to be a better nutritionist or how to be a better coach. And that's essential. If you don't know what you're doing, you can't help the people that you desire to help. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if you don't know what you're doing from a business sense, you still can't help the people that you want to help. All right. The knowledge in the world, this day and age, becomes invaluable if you don't have a way to disseminate it and share it with people. You know, if you talk to a lot of people who have been in the industry for a long period of time, they very much don't like, in general, the internet age or social media, because they feel that they don't want to spend their time doing the marketing, and they'd rather just spend the time being a great practitioner, which part of it I completely get. You should always be judged by your craft. Helping people is the bottom line. But you can either be a dinosaur and go extinct, or you can evolve. And the evolution is that in some way, shape, or form, we all have to market ourselves, because you might be the best in the world of what you do, or a rising star, or learned how you can help people. But if you don't have a way to reach them where they are playing, and where they're playing is the internet, you're going to miss out on that opportunity. So step one is creating that strategy.
Completely agree with that.
Step two then is, if you know what you're about, you have to make sure that that connects with who your audience is. Do you know their wants and needs? Are you continually supplying the type of content that satisfies that need? Are you building a relationship with them? And the biggest mistake a lot of people do is they try to be something for everyone. Mm-hmm. And in an ideal world, yes, we can all help everyone. But if you were to look at all of the subsects out there, are you trying to work with people in their 20s and 30s? Do you want to work with someone in their 50s and 60s? Are you working with an active audience, or a sedentary audience, a healthy audience, or a sick audience? Are these people who are active and engaged? Or, you know, are they brand new to fitness? Or are these the people who know everything about nutrition? Maybe you want to create content for doctors and other nutrition practitioners, and that becomes your niche, that becomes your area of focus. That's so important, because the type of content you are going to create is directly going to influence the type of audience that you generate, and inevitably the type of consumer you have, the type of client you have, the type of reputation that you build. But a lot of people will go out there and they try and pick the low dangling fruit. They try and think, what can I write that maybe a lot of people will read, as opposed to what can I write or what can I create that I will be the best at, or the area that I want to specialize in. And the moment that you lose that focus of who is your target audience is the moment that you fail at step number one, which is about, it's not about you, it's about them. So I see so many blogs and websites out there that if you were to just take a sampling of 5 articles on their site, you could never make an elevator pitch about what they're about, because they're all over the place. One day it's a very personal entry about who knows what.
Right.
And then the next day it's very sciencey and they've got lots of studies. And the next day it's just an article with a recipe and nothing else. And that's not to say you can't have personal articles, recipes, and sciencey, but there has to be that cohesive theme that speaks to the end audience. When I create content on my site, I know who my target audience is. So there's going to be some people who don't like what I create, and that's fine. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, we'll talk in a moment about email lists. A lot of people get very, and you should all be trying to build an email list, because this is your way to build a relationship with people. A lot of people get hurt when someone unsubscribes from their email list. And this used to be me. I would see it would come in, I would send out an email and see the unsubscribes, and I'm like, 100 people unsubscribed today. I did a terrible job. Now, could that be the case? Of course, but 99% of the time, if someone unsubscribes, it's a good thing, because it means that it wasn't a good relationship. An unsubscribe is like a breakup of a bad relationship. And all you want with the people coming to your site, interacting with you, is a great relationship, because you want to be supplying what they want and you want them to be appreciating. This is relationship building, and it's what we call, or what Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, the great marketer, calls the jab.
Right.
In your business, at some point, you're going to be selling. Maybe you're not selling directly through your website. Maybe you are, but you're building a relationship. And these are jabs, as in you want to give, give, give. And maybe at some point, you're going to ask them to buy a program, ask them to sign up for a consultation, ask them to buy an ebook, ask them to, you know, have a diet plan with you. But you can't come out selling until you know, someone go until you get to that point where you've built that relationship. It's a little bit crude for some people, but that'd be the equivalent of meeting someone on the first date before you even say anything and ask them to go sleep with you. I mean, we're in the Tinder age. I mean, anything is possible. I'm a married man. I got no idea what any of this stuff is. But I mean, that is the relationship. That is the kind of the connection that people make when you are in a digital space. It's even harder because you don't have this. You don't have that face to face. The wonderful thing about this school is you guys get to interact with Carrie on a level that allows you to build a relationship. But you can do the same thing with anyone in the digital space. That's the beauty of the internet. But you have to honor the time-honored tradition of how do you build a relationship with a person? You share stuff with them. You give them value. You continually give it. And then at that point, oftentimes the beauty is you don't even have to sell it then. I would be willing to bet that a lot of you listening to this right now, the reason why you are working with Carrie isn't because she had to sell you something, but rather that you've seen her on TV or you've read her articles or you've received her emails or you've watched her webinars. And you know, the reason Carrie's doing this is because she wants to help people and she has all this information that you don't have to necessarily pay for and you're paying to get that next level, to get the more intimate experience, to work with her at a different level. But think about your own process of anything that you bought. You rarely go in and just buy something on a whim, whether it's $1 or $1,000. It doesn't matter because we all value our money, we all value our time, and we all value our relationships.
Right.
So what you want to think about is that your website is your virtual relationship with any single person that comes to your site, and you don't want to disrespect that opportunity to first build a relationship by speaking to them and building that connection.
Yeah, I really think this is so key. And what I'm really hearing from you is it's quality, not quantity. Everything from the content that you're putting out to even the consumers you have and the readers you have either on your email list or coming to your site. You don't care how many you have, you want them to be the right type of people, the quality of the people reading your emails. So that's why you said, again, losing 100 people, if they're not the right people for you, then that's okay. So the quality is more important, and then the quality of the content. So those two things, the quality of the content and the quality of what you're putting out, will help the quality of the consumers and the readers. And so really, that really all works together, quality over sort of quantity.
Right. Something that's almost counterintuitive, but very interesting to think about. Another client that we work with is Tim Ferriss. Some of you might know him. He's the author of the 4-Hour Workweek, 4-Hour Body, 4-Hour Chef. And, you know, Tim is a, you know, brilliant mind in the space. And when I talked to Tim about his content creation, he said something very interesting that I think all of you will find very valuable, even when running your business. And that is that, you know, Tim has a site that gets millions of people every single month coming to him. And he said that he does not write for the majority. When he writes an article, he only wants it to appeal to 10% of his audience. And the reason is specific. He wants it to appeal to the 10% that are most passionate because he knows that it will strike a chord with them so strong if he does his job with the quality that those 10% are going to tell everyone they know about it. So the virality of his approach is that he would rather, you know, get the people who are very fervent about something, because think about it, in building any type of business, a lot of times it's going to grow through referral.
Right.
If you create such a good relationship, and referral could just be people telling others to come to your website to read your article or check out your consultation or to learn from you or from interact from you.
Right.
And the best way that can happen sometimes is just referral. I mean, if a friend of mine tells me to go check something out, I'm way more likely to do it than if it just comes from some ambiguous source. So the quality is important, but the more focused you know who that audience is, the more you can hit that 10% right on the nose.
Right. Wait, so I have a follow-up question to that then. How can one of our students out there try to figure out, how do they go about figuring out like who that 10% is? What is that 10% most interested in? Obviously, it will be different for everybody, but I'm saying, how do they go about finding that out?
It's a thought experiment. And you really, what you want to do is you're almost taking an audience from vertical and horizontal categories. Mm-hmm. And so vertical categories is going to be your, like, it's going to be gender, it's going to be age, it's going to be experience. And horizontal would be like those psychographic, considerations that will get down into another level. Like, what are they interested in? What type of content do they want to read specifically? Is it about workout nutrition as opposed to general health? Is it about, you know, sexual health? It could be anything at all. Mm-hmm. And what you want to do is you start focusing on, like, who is that ideal consumer? Like, all right, I want to be focusing on women in their 40s who are active, who are struggling with their diet. They have
trouble
with meal
plans. Are you looking
at me
here?
lunch is their biggest issue, and they struggle with drinking. And then you start asking yourself, what are the most common questions that these people have? And a lot of people will just start too broad, that they never get down to, like, if I had my five prototype readers, listeners, clients, whatever it might be, what would that person look like? If I were to write a profile, you'd actually be able to write a pretty specific profile of what they look like, mm-hmm. how their day goes. But if you want to get that thought experiment, because you might boil all that down and then you create that profile, and then you look at it and you're like, that's not the person that I want to help, or that's not the person I can help best. So you kind of go back to it and then boil it down. And again, every single article doesn't have to just appeal to that one person, but that one person should love it. And in an ideal universe, right. Once you have that prototype, you create a website or you create a page or you write an article and you share it with the person in your life that most closely resembles that. And you ask them, do you like this? You know, the final step of knowing your audience is actually going to your audience. And whether you have an audience on a website or not, we all have friends. We all have people that we know that actually, you know, meet the prototype. For a lot of us, at some point, we help the people in our lives for free, and we have that aha moment of like, oh my goodness, I should be doing this for a living. I should be helping this exact type of person. This is where I'm going to have my greatest impact. And sometimes you've got to almost go back to those roots where when you look at a website, you're just like, I'm not getting any visitors. I'm so struggling. Everyone starts with no visitors. I came in when I started my own business with a clear-cut advantage over everyone. I was the fitness editor for Men's Health for 4 years. I was the editorial director of Livestrong.com, which while I was there, I made it the biggest health website on the web. We had more than 40 million people come in per month. We were bigger than WebMD. I started my own business, and I couldn't get 100 people a month to my site at first. I could not get 100 people for about the first 6 months. And part of it was because I didn't go down and break down the steps. The type of things that I did in building the businesses that I worked for, I never took the initial legwork to go about that. And once I did that, things started to change. But one of the best things I ever did was I took what I thought was my best content and I gave it to the people that I thought would love it the most.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
And if they hated it or they found flaws, I didn't get hurt. I didn't get sensitive.
Right.
The number one thing in building your business is that criticism doesn't mean that you're bad.
Right.
Criticism is just showing you another path of how to become better. Yeah, and it's something we all have to take to heart because it's tough. It's tough when you're the expert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to come out of this class being the expert. You're going to have a lot more knowledge than these people that you share with, but they are the consumer. They are your audience, and their feedback is as valuable as the feedback that you will get from a mentor. And take it to heart. Doesn't mean you have to listen to all of it, but it also means that you should be open-minded enough that if someone's being like, I really don't like your voice or it's not speaking to me, it's going to hurt. I'm telling you, it never gets old. I am torn apart on the internet by a lot of people, and I know that I need to ignore it. It still hurts. But at the same time, I'm always able to look at it and be like, what can I learn from this and how can it make
me
better?
Yep. So important. I really like that tip though, about also writing down that prototype. I think that's another really important thing. And that can be a tool for you going forward. And that's just, you know, a drill that everybody can do. All of our TNS students can do right now is write down the prototype of the people that they think are coming to their site or they who want to be coming to their site, but really writing that down. I think that's another great, great tip. Okay. So what's the next one?
All right. The number three is then going to be play to your strengths. And what I mean by that is less about now the like what you are writing about, but then how you are disseminating that information. For a lot of people, creating a website is very, very intimidating because, let's be honest, a lot of people either don't like writing or don't think they're a good writer or they don't have a lot of experience with it. And some of that is you have to realize that, you know, life is a game of reps. We all start bad at everything that we do. I mean, I joke all the time on my blog content how part of the reason why I know so much is because I've pretty much run out of mistakes that I could make. I have done everything wrong, and from those mistakes, I have learned. And it's with myself, it's with clients. It's a harsh reality, but you know, we're all beginners at some point, and there's no shame in that.
Yeah, it's like the Michael. So I have to interrupt for 1 second. It's like, because I always tell my kids this. It's like the Michael Jordan example, how he didn't make varsity basketball when he was, I think, a sophomore, and he always says, you know, why is he so sick? If you ask why he's so successful, he's got this classic, I guess, the answer. I don't know, remember the exact stats, but it's something like, because I've missed 36 winning shots, and I've lost 300 and something games. That's why I'm successful. Like, it's really learning from your failures. I love that.
I grew up on that. And the line is, I say over and over again, and that is why I succeed.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love that quote. So that just reminded me of it. Sorry, I had to throw that in.
No, any MJ reference is always going to speak to me, my soul. You know, what you can do to expedite, speed the learning curve of creating content, however you want to create content, because I will tell you this, you can put over a website and it could just essentially be a digital landing page or digital business card, and that's fine. But if you want people to come to build a relationship, you're going to want to create some sort of content, and it's going to make people easier to find you. You know, this is, like I said, this is a universe that is driven by SEO, which is search, people looking on Google for things, and social. So you have to be putting something out there in the world that people can interact with. And again, that can be very overwhelming to think about. But the way to turn this around is think about what type of content seems easy for you. And a lot of people might just be doing a short video. We all have camera phones now. It makes it very, very easy to do video. It might be audio. It might be pictures. You know, there are many, many brands out there that have built their reputation off of just sharing unbelievable pictures of great food. Maybe you know how to make healthy food delicious. And people don't know that, but you can take pictures of beautiful food and explain the health benefits and just stuff there. So, you know, one of our, both of our friends, Mikkel Hill of Nutrition Strip, her biggest presence is on Instagram. She took off by just putting up beautiful recipes of food and allowed her then to get into what she does better. It was almost that foot in the door approach. So instead of thinking that you have to be a good writer or you have to write these 5,000 word blog posts, think about the type of content that seems easiest for you to do. Mm-hmm. Because the hardest thing to do is you're going to set this plan. You're going to figure out what you are about. You're going to think about, you know, who is your audience. You're going to get to this point. You're going to be like, all right, I'm ready to go. I've got a plan. Then you're like, oh, I don't want to write, or I don't have time to do this. And doing anything in business, I think, falls in the same line of almost like changing clients' behaviors. And what we know about changes behind clients' behaviors, so much more is more about the psychology of things rather than the physiology. And the same thing applies in business. This is about the psychology of business and the psychology of behavioral changes. You have to make it easy enough that you think you can do it. And then you can repeat it and then you can build. So when you are starting a site or when you are building content, don't worry about there's a certain type of content I need to create. Good content is good content. It goes back to what you said earlier. Quality is quality is quality. And if you know who you're trying to reach, that quality will strike a nerve. So then start with what is the easiest format for you to realistically do, because you just you need to get something up on your website. So it can be a podcast, even if you have no guests. You can just be talking about topics. It can be audio files. It can be pictures. It can be videos, short or long form. It can be short articles. It can be long articles. And there's so many different ways that you can create content. Your content could all be about, let's say you've got clients and you've got a local practice. You know, you can't necessarily use exact names, but you can use these people as prototypes, as anecdotes, as case studies. And your entire site could just be case studies of what you learn from different clients.
I love that.
And a reader will come to your site and they might, case study one, two, or three, it might not appeal to them, but case study four is going to be just like them. And they're going to have that aha moment, like, I'm making that same mistake. This could help me. This person just helped me. I'm going to bookmark them. I'm going to come back to them. I'm going to start following them on Facebook or Twitter because I like that. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to strike a chord with people. So if you play to your strengths and in a way that allows you to be genuine and authentic and have something about you that is unique, getting back to point number one, what are you about? What makes you different? You know, what will you do for others? If you find the best way to share that, you're much more likely to be able to build that relationship with someone.
I love it. I love these tips. Okay, so I'm going to summarize here. Number one, what are you about? You have to figure that out. What are you about? Number two, know your audience, like the back of your hand. Know that audience of yours. And number three, play to your strengths. So you gave us incredible information. I loved all this. I'm sitting here taking notes on this. I know, I hope all of our TNS students love it. I'm sure they did. And hey guys, watching this, reach out to Adam. Check out bornfitnessconsulting.com and reach out to him on Twitter at bornfitness. Go on the TNS Facebook page and chat with us how you liked this webinar, what you learned, what you want to learn more about. Adam always wants to share his amazing information. So we appreciate so much you being here. Any final thoughts, though? Any last tips you want to share with our incredible TNS students?
My
and
last
alum. Tip, I keep saying students, alum too.
Students, alum. My best advice is to take advantage of Nutrition School as a resource. I came on to do this with Carrie because, Carrie is a tremendous resource for all of you. But I think sometimes the questions we don't ask are the ones that are most obvious. And it can be everything from asking Carrie why she did certain things with her website, because, I've worked with Carrie and you can go in the Wayback Machine and see where her website was and what she's doing now and even where she wants to take it in the future. Ask her what she wants to change. Ask her advice. The joy of a setting like this is the ability to interact and learn from each other. And I'm sure there will be questions that, you will ask, that you will interact, that will allow you to come to own realizations, even if Carrie's answer doesn't, provide what you are looking for. The one final tip that I will give everyone with their website, no matter what, is have a call to action. It is the biggest mistake that people make. Again, it does not matter if you're selling something or not. Again, think of this as a relationship builder above and beyond all. There has to be a call to action. Maybe it's downloading a free webinar. Maybe it's a free ebook. Maybe it's a free consultation. Maybe it is click here to find the most popular article that's ever been on my site. Or maybe it's just sending them to your about page. And the about page is something that's really personal and heartfelt that you think if they read it or they watch it or they listen to it, it's gonna strike a nerve. You should have a call to action on every single page on your website. Because remember, the article page is the homepage. You want to go where the people are. And if you are not telling people where to go, they don't know. And that's the beauty. You get to dictate that. This is a map. Your website is a roadmap. And you essentially tell them where to go and make it simple. Everything should drive them towards one thing that you think will have the greatest impact. And that's how you start building a relationship with people. That's how you have value in a website. And as an individual, here's the thing. A lot of people will look at the big brands of the world, the Yahoos of the world, or the Women's Health of the world. And yes, they've got huge audience. They have everything. But they are a brand. They are not a person. And what I know more than anything is people invest in people. Mm-hmm. And it does not take a miracle for you to become a big deal. It does not take a miracle for you to be able to do what Carrie is doing or what I'm doing. What it takes is the patience and the wherewithal and the strategy and the dedication to doing what you want to do. And, Carrie mentioned Michael Jordan before. Nike is Nike, but Nike is nothing without Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, I love because that.
People,
love that follow-up there.
Everyone wanted to be like Mike.
Yeah.
And whether it's in your local market, whether it's in your school district, whether it's in a medical facility that you work in, if people want to be like you or be helped by you, that's where you'll have your greatest impact. And always remember that. And again, the website is the personification of you.
I love that.
So remember, people invest in people above and beyond everything. It's why all those big brands, the Yahoo's, Women's Health, they have columnists, they have faces, they have voices,
right?
Because it's the compilation of those people that allows them to generate that bigger following.
Right, right.
But at the end of the day, a brand, a website, a business without a soul, there's nothing.
Right. I love that. Strong finish there, Born Fitness.
We try.
Adam, that is awesome. I love that. That's really super inspiring. I know I'm super inspired, so I am sure our TNS students and alum are inspired and really can't thank you enough. I know your time is uber precious, so thank you so much for giving us all this time. Really enjoyed this, and yeah, just excited to learn more from you. So we'll probably be asking you more questions in the future. So
excellent. I will
get
be
ready
back
for it. Okay. Thank you so much, Adam.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.